Somebody said encouragement is like oxygen in the life of a church. Do you agree with this? Like oxygen. It keeps our hearts beating, our minds clear, and hands inspired to serve. That's how encouragement helps us. Because encouragement is so important to the church, God does not merely suggest it or recommend encouragement, but He explicitly commands it in the scripture. There's a lot of passages in the scripture that talks about encouragement. Like the passage that we have read in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. I will read this passage. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, it says here, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. You see the importance of encouragement. Becoming, it's a conclusion. The apostle said, therefore, the coming of Christ, therefore, build one another, encourage one another. You see, the words interchanging, words encourage, exhort, or comfort, the word is parakleo, to encourage. This morning we will answer 4 W's of encouragement. The why, what, when, and who of encouragement. First, we will answer the question, why we need encouragement. God commanded that His people encourage each other because He knows we need it. But too often, we are guilty of taking time to discourage, but never taking time to encourage someone. In the gospel, in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus warned. He said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart. This is an encouragement. Take heart. I have overcome the world. In this world you will have troubles. You will have tribulation. In fact, in John 14, verse 27, he said, the peace I leave you, the peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, we live in a broken world where selfishness, jealousy, despair exist. Sin steals our joy. Our bodies will deteriorate. We feel that. Our plans sometimes fail. Our future is uncertain. And in the scripture, the verses that we show to you, that we really need encouragement because we are promised suffering in scripture. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says here, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Do not be surprised. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. There's persecution. There's trial. And James chapter 1, 2 to 3, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. We really need encouragement. With all the trials and sufferings and persecutions, encouragement is necessary. When encouragement is absent from the life of somebody, he will lose his strength. Right? When encouragement is absent from the life of the church, our church, what will happen? People will feel unloved, unimportant, useless, or maybe forgotten. That's why we need encouragement. Mark Twain once said, I can live 2 months on one good compliment. I can live 2 months on one good compliment. One of the greatest coaches in basketball history was John Wooden. He was the coach of UCLA, Bruins, University of California, Bruins. He led his team to 10 NCAA championships and 7 in a row, 7 feet. Before every game, he always mentioned this to the team. He said, "Whoever makes a shot or a basket, he is required to smile, nod, and wink at the one who passed the ball or the one who assists." So one new player asked him, "Coach, what if he's not looking?" John Wooden said, "I guarantee you he will look. He will. I guarantee you." He was right, because everyone is looking for affirmation or encouragement. You basketball players, the GBC All-Stars, is that true? That when somebody make a shot, the one who assists will always look at the one who made a shot. Make it a practice. It's an encouragement. So why we need encouragement? Because there's persecution and trials, and we need that. It's the oxygen in the life of the church. Second, what is encouragement? What is encouragement? Biblical encouragement is not focused on complimenting someone's beauty or property or haircut or how their homemade pasta or pastries taste, or their LV, or their MK, or PB. Yeah, that encouragement is sometimes important. But the encouragement the scriptures refer to is explicitly Christian encouragement. Encouragement that will lift someone's heart toward the Lord. Colossians chapter 4, verse 8. "I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts." He may encourage your hearts. Encouragement that will uplift someone's heart toward the Lord. Encouragement that helps them see that God is using them by his grace. Encouragement that points a person to God's promises and assures them that whatever they face right now is under control. The New Testament reveals that encouragement was a regular part of the early church life together. And I will share to you verses here, a couple of verses. The efforts and the effects of encouragement in the early church. Acts chapter 13, verse 15. "After reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them, saying, 'Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it.'" If you have any word of encouragement, don't withhold it. Say it. That's how they encourage one another in the New Testament. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. "Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God." You see the effect of encouragement? It will strengthen. It strengthens the soul of the disciples. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." So encouragement will result into hope. And not only hope, but also it leads us to, or give us unity or harmony in 15:5 of Romans chapter 15. "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus." You notice there, may the God of endurance and God of encouragement. Our God is a God of encouragement. And we are commanded to encourage one another. Too often, we discourage others instead of encouraging one another. Through our words and our criticism, we hurt others instead of building up one another. In Acts chapter 15, verse 31, and when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. Rejoice. The fruit of encouragement gives us joy. And then Acts 15, 32, and Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. Indeed, encouragement is necessary and useful in the ministry, in the life of the church, and in the life of every individual. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 will give us perseverance. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, not neglecting to meet together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Encouraging one another as we see the day drawing near. The passage that we read in Thessalonians talks about the coming of Christ, and it gives us perseverance while we wait for his coming through encouragement. So we answer the question, why we need encouragement? What is encouragement? Now the third question is, when is the right time to encourage others? When? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But exhort one another every day. Wow. Every day. As long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So when? To encourage others. It says there, every day, while it is called today, while we have this opportunity, say it. Encourage one another. While we have the chance. Sometimes we give encouragement. We call it eulogy. We give good words and praises to somebody who already died. It's too late. It's too late. Encourage one another today. God knows his people are in need of grace-filled reminders, so he calls us to encourage others every day until Christ returns. All seasons of life, whether good times or in bad times, encourage. One of the sad realities of our time is that there are few who just take time to be kind as a lifestyle. There are plenty who are mean-spirited, hateful people, opinionated, self-centered, and rude. And sometimes we are guilty of that. Me, I'm guilty of that. There are times I do not deny. This ought not to be, especially among us, children of God. We ought to practice ministry of encouragement as we pass through this world. To encourage others, I would say, to encourage others is a great opportunity to serve God by ministering to others through encouragement. I'll repeat. To encourage others is a great opportunity to serve God by ministering to others through encouragement. Stephen Grillet, he's a Quaker missionary. He said, I shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me defer it. Let me not defer it or neglect it, or I shall not pass this way again. Do it now. Do it every day. do it while it is called today, while we are waiting for the coming of Christ. Do it now. Years ago, there was a movie. This movie was shown in our school, in high school. I don't know if you remember, Stand and Deliver. Yeah. Lou Diamond Phillips. It was the story of a math teacher in a very rough high school. The story about Jamie Escalante. He has two students named Johnny. One Johnny is a A-plus student, a bright student. The other one is an F-plus. He refused to learn. Johnny, he was a talented student, especially in math, but he refused to learn. And he always resists authority. At PTA meeting, the mother of Johnny, the F-plus, asked Mr. Jamie Escalante, "How's my son, Johnny?" So the teacher said, was thinking that it was the mother of Johnny, the A-plus. He said, "Johnny is a joy to have in my class. I'm so glad he is one of my students." So one morning, when Johnny, F-plus student, approached Mr. Escalante, he said, "Sir, I thank you. I just want you to know that I've never had a teacher who wanted me before or even liked me. I'm going to work harder than I've ever done to be a good student." Wow. And indeed, he became a model student. And he graduated as an honor roll. You see? One encouraging word spoken at the right moment, at the right time, at the right person, it transformed the young man's life. Can you imagine that as a brother in the Lord, encouraging your fellow believers in God? You will be amazed by the effect if you do the ministry of encouragement. Because at what Peter said, we are involved in the ministry of suffering. And there's a lot, the troubles, that people need encouragement. Everyone needs encouragement. Criticism, we need some. But we need more encouragement. Pastor needs encouragement. You need encouragement. All the ministries that we are here, encourage one another. Biblical encouragement. The last question. Who exemplifies encouragement? So we'll take a look at the example. Somebody who set an example in the Bible as an encourager. I would like to take a quick look at the life of Barnabas and share with you why he earned the name Son of Encouragement. Imagine that name. Let me read Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 36 to 37. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. By the way, the name, this name is very special. The word consolation or encouragement comes from the same word that is translated helper or comforter. You remember John 14, verse 26. This was the title given to the Holy Spirit. Parakletos. But the helper, this word, the helper, son of encouragement, same word. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Paraklet or parakleo, it refers to one who comes alongside of another to offer help and encouragement. Somebody alongside to offer help and encouragement. And that is Barnabas. The Holy Spirit is our helper, our paracletos, our comforter. Barnabas had earned the reputation among the disciples of Christ as one who was a helper and encourager of others. Let's take some time to examine the life of Barnabas and see why he was really called a son of encouragement. Acts chapter 9, verse 26 to 27. And when he had come, here is Apostle Paul. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. He was a new convert. But Barnabas took him, Apostle Paul, and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. After Saul was converted, he tried to fellowship. He tried to unite himself with the believers, the disciples, who were in Jerusalem. But what happened? Out of fear and prejudice about his past, he was a persecutor, he was a murderer. They were afraid to allow him into their fellowship. And Barnabas came to Saul's side and stood up for him and told others about this man's amazing conversion and usefulness in the ministry. He was the one who helped Paul tell the believers, no, this man was a true convert in Christ, and he's now preaching the word of the Lord mightily in Damascus. He did not say, look, I know he's a murderer. I know he was a blasphemer. I know he destroyed the church. I know he put many of you in prison. That's not what he said. Barnabas was an encourager, and encouragers don't look to the past. They look to the future. Barnabas didn't look at what Paul had done, but rather he looked at what Paul could do. There is a need for this kind of ministry today. We need to make effort and take time to reach out to those around us who seem to be lonely or rejected by others. We should do our best to make everyone who comes to this place in Glencairn Baptist Church as if they belong here and are accepted just as they are. When people come to church, they ought to find bridges going up and barriers coming down. Welcome them, accept them, love them. There are basically two types of people in every church. One type seeks to find all the fault with others and the work of the church, and then they do their best to tear others down. That's one. They call it the destroyers, the ministry. The other type seeks to build up their church and fellow believers, and they seek to help them grow in the Lord. Those are what we call builders. The builders versus the destroyers. Which group do you belong? Are you a builder of the ministry? Or are you a destroyer who always look for some fault or destroy somebody or the ministry? Acts chapter 15, 36 to 40. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. There was a strong disagreement between Paul and Barnabas concerning a young man named John Mark, or Mark. What happened was they had gone on a missionary journey, and for some reason Mark had gotten discouraged. Probably he was homesick. Some scholars said probably he was so afraid because of the danger that he will face in the missionary journey. That's why he quit and went back home. And because of that, Paul basically washed his hands of him and said, I'm finished with him. He's finished. And I'm done with him too. he's a quitter. I don't want to bring this guy in the ministry, in the missionary journey. So he rather took Silas. But Barnabas said, okay, I will bring John Mark. I will not quit on him. I will bring him because I see the potential in this man. I find that very interesting. Barnabas would not quit on Paul, and yet Paul was ready to quit Mark. No? When in fact, when Paul was rejected by the disciples, Barnabas was with him, encouraged him, and defended him, and pledged to the believers that this man is a man of God. He is a true convert of God. Just think about what could have happened if Barnabas had not encouraged Paul or Saul of Tarsus. If he had just walked away from him like everybody else. Do you realize, from human perspective, I know God will use somebody. It is a plan of God. But do you realize, from a human perspective, we would not have 14 books in the New Testament today? It's not because of Barnabas encouraging Paul. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, 2 Timothy, 2 Thessalonians, Colossians, even the book of Hebrew, some scholar it's Paul. Imagine that the church might have lost its greatest preacher and missionary. As I've said, in a human perspective, I know God will use somebody. I know that's the plan of God for Paul. And how about John Mark? Did you know that he happened to be the Mark that wrote the Gospel of Mark? Matthew, Mark, the second, one of the synoptic Gospels. If Barnabas had quit on Mark like Paul did, maybe we would never have had the gospel called Mark. If Barnabas had given up on Mark, he might never have become the man Paul requested at the end of his life. This is Paul. When he wrote to Timothy, when he was old and dying, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, he said to Timothy, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. For he is very useful to me for the ministry. Wow. Can you imagine how encouragement transformed the man to become profitable for the ministry? He was once maybe coward, or we don't know what happened to him. He was a quitter, but now also all himself, he was very useful in the ministry. No wonder Barnabas was called son of encouragement. He was the kind of person probably you wanted to have around you as you served the Lord, right? He was not just a spiritual cheerleader, but he was a man of great conviction who wanted to see the church flourish, and he did all he could to make it happen. Let's ask God to give us and our church a heart like Barnabas. And when we make the changes, if we desire that and we ask God to become an encourager, for sure God will be glorified, others will be edified, gospel joy will be experienced, and we will be rewarded when we arrive home in glory.